Okay, so let's go to the first session, the design session, which is really where you start building the container and building the boundaries and the agreements and so on, the space of the coaching relationship. Now, often when this happens, as in the pre-coaching session that I've just been talking about, the client may come with urgent and concerns that they feel are critical. They may well be in crisis. It is important that you address that. If that is how they turn up, then you need to address that. It can be sometimes that that first session, if there's a lot of crisis, is really just about stabilizing and spending some time with that client, and you can't really get too much of the design process done. But I'm assuming that the client is able to engage with you sufficiently for you to move the session towards creating this design with them that will start to form the coaching relationship. And one of the primary goals of that is to create safety. So really we're trying to evoke the idea that this coaching space is a place where they can bring as much of themselves as possible, and that is really about them feeling safe. Now, there's a contradiction, if you like, a paradox here, which is that, of course, coaching is all about change, and it's all about risk at the end of the day. When people say they want to change their lives and want to make changes, what they're really saying is that they want to experience the thing that they're not experiencing, i.e. the unknown, and that, of course, is always risky for people. And so there is some danger, if you like, built inherently into the change process for humans. So when we say we're creating safety, it's about trying to create a space where the client starts to feel that they can actually bring all of them, their emotions, their feelings, their thoughts, and so on. And they will do that if they feel that they are safe. Safety for an individual is different for another individual in the sense that you need to not assume that you know what safety is for your clients. So a safe place for one person might be quite different looking to another. So you want to perhaps be aware that the definition of safety needs some clarification with your client. The design is always looking to create that contained safe space. Listen and be simple-minded and ask for clarity about language client uses. When you first meet somebody, they will be using words and phrases and to describe themselves and their experience in certain kinds of ways. So make sure that you stay simple-minded and get clear about it. Don't step over those things. It's important because, as we know, we talked about priming earlier, we know that priming means that words aren't necessarily neutral, particularly around these kinds of topics where people are being labeled quite a lot. Avoid using your own labels for problems or conditions. So you want to make sure that you don't jump to putting the label on someone. So somebody comes and says, what I really want you to do is help me with my weight. And so you don't want to say, oh, are you obese, if they're very, very overweight. You don't want to use the word obese, for instance, without thinking about it or considering what the impact might be, because it might be a primed word. Same way that somebody might come to you and say, what I need help with is that, I'm drinking too much, and I'm concerned about it, it's damaged my health, and I've seen the warning signs. You don't want to sort of say, are you an alcoholic? Because you are introducing a label that you are bringing out of yourself and putting it into the space. You want to be sure that you don't do that. You want to work with what they are bringing and then be curious about what they're bringing as well, because we want to be sure that what they're bringing is in fact serving them well. We want to be aware of this, particularly in the mental health arena. If clients use specific language, be slow to adopt it. So what that means is just because they use a word, don't immediately jump on that word and start using it and banding it around all over the place. Be more mindful and curious about it. In the pre-session that you had before this first session, you would have given them an introduction to recovery and wellness coaching. In this session, expand on that, recap on it, remind them. They may well have forgotten. It's interesting what people remember about pre-coaching sessions is often not at all what we think that they would remember. And sometimes I've asked a client to, if they can, would just quickly recap what they recall from our first meeting, and it's quite interesting what they come up with. So just make no assumptions that they have retained this clarity about what you do. So it's important to recap on that. Explain power of the client to define what they want, and also how they describe their experience. So this is really about starting that process and making sure that the coaching relationship stays as a flat level relationship, i.e. you come together with equal power as human beings, and you are there to create a powerful relationship. You are not there to be in power over them. And lots of people, when they go and see professionals, tend to start giving up their power to that professional. And so we want to be slowly and explicitly making it clear to our clients that they actually have the defining power in the relationship. That does not mean that the relationship or the process doesn't have a lot of power and energy in it. It does. But we want to make sure that they start to get that. Part of that is saying, you know, giving them clear understanding that they can come back and design the coaching with you at any time. If it's not working well, they're not happy with it, they seem stuck and so on, you know, we want them to be able to bring that back into the coaching session so it can be included. Be clear about your boundaries and how you work. That's pretty straightforward. That's the structural aspects, when you're available, when you're not available, and so on. Show your passion and commitment. Very important, because it is easy for us to feel that we should self-manage ourselves to the point where we can sometimes sort of almost self-manage our passion and commitment out of it. And this kind of work with people where the stakes are so high for them is a vital human work, and is something that needs to be entered into by the coach with commitment and with passion. And so that commitment and passion needs to be visible, needs to be felt, and so show it. If it's important to you to work with people like this, if you're passionate about it, your client needs to know that. They want to know that you're not just there for the dollar or the euro or the pound. You're there to also be committed to the success of the process. That, so it's important to have that in this session, and it's actually important to have through the whole of your coaching relationship, of course, but this is a good place to start letting that be visible. Explain your purpose and belief in the possibility of what they are hoping to do. So you will have started to get a sense now of sort of what kind of challenges they're facing and what they're trying to do about them. And explain that part of your purpose as a coach, as a recovery to wellness coach, is to work with people like them to achieve what it is that they are hoping to achieve. And also add into that that your belief in the possibility. This is really important as well, because if you don't believe that the person has within them the capacity to find this new pathway, to find this reconfigured life, that will permeate the coaching relationship and will serve neither them nor actually you. Get permissions. I'm really keen on coaches making sure that they ask for permissions. And normally in this design session, just explain to your client. I always explain to my client, I'm going to be possibly wanting to offer them some information or some resources. And you know, if they get stuck, then you know, we'll need to find ways for them to get unstuck. But do this around permission. Ask for specific permission. Do I have your permission? Is it okay if I offer you information? And this is important, because you're signaling to the client that you are allowing always their consent to be the most important aspect of your relationship, which means that you are going to show them that kind of respect and just not make any assumptions about what you can and can't do. Next key point is only write things down if you get permission. So if you want to make notes in the session, which is quite reasonable and understandable, then tell your client, I'd like to make some notes. Explain to him that they're transparent, so they make you want to be sure to be accurately understanding them. So you're just going to make some notes to make sure, and that you're going to happy to share them. And you might even at the end want to just say, look, can we just quickly go through the notes? Just make sure that we're on the same page. It's very, very much about being transparent. Offer to show it to them, you know, hand it to them. Better still, if your client would take the notes himself, because sometimes you can ask a client, say, we'd like to just capture some of the what we're going to talk about in bullet points, the things that seem important for us to remember. Would they like you to write it down, or would they like to write it down? And I have had clients who said, no, I'll do the note taking. Turned out that was one of their aspects of their learning style. So make sure you get permission to do that kind of thing. Often clients have been going to other kinds of professionals who sit and make sort of notes and then slide them into a file, and they spend the whole time wondering what the professional wrote down and what's in the file. We don't want to be doing that. Make a written agreement with these key points and give it to them to think about and sign or amend next time you meet. So use some kind of written template. We've shared already one of our templates that you can use and can adapt. And if you don't have a meeting face-to-face, then you can do it via email. But it's important to capture it in an agreement. So this is what we kind of agreed to. We're going to work together for this amount of time. This is the broad things that we've agreed and so on. So this is an important sort of tangible physical sign that you've been through this session. And then at the end of this session, you will, of course, like all coaching sessions, be bringing in this idea of action and accountability. Earlier on in the session, you will have expanded and recapped on what coaching is all about and recovery and wellness coaching is all about. And when you've done that, it's important that you have explained about action and accountability. So by the time you get to the end of this first coaching session, you want to just actually do this. So you want to talk to them at the end of the session about what is the action they want to take, and what is the accountability. So when will they let you know, how will you know, and so on, when will you know. So very important to do this in a very I always want to do it in a very doable and very small way, because it's really not about you know, we don't want to be having an action which is, I'm going to sell my house tomorrow, or I'm going to go in and resign my job, or divorce my partner, etc., etc. So it's really not about that. We are about very small actions. Could be making a list, ringing up a medical facility. I mean, it could be absolutely anything, but just make sure that it's small and doable and easily reportable, because you want there to be a small win for this client in their first session with you.